Allahu Akbar. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for your welcome. Happy to be here with you again in the city of Brooklyn, hosted by my brother and my friend, our brother and our friend, Imam Adi. I thought I'd go way back and come forward. Going back to the time when I was a young minister in the Nation of Islam, and I don't think I had gotten a residency yet. I became the minister. I was appointed to be the minister of Philadelphia, Temple Number 12, in middle or late 1958. And I'm going back, I think, a little bit earlier than that, when I was a young minister, and I was addressing the fruit. My brother Elijah, called him Elijah Jr. back there, Elijah II, he would want me to come out and speak to the fruit. And the lieutenants there too, the officers, they wanted me to come out and do it. It's Raymond Sharif, Supreme Captain, who my brother was assistant. He too wanted me to come out. And one time, I gave a talk to the fruit of Islam. Looking back at myself and how I spoke in the Nation of Islam, look here, I think it's more interesting to me than it is to anybody else. I'm looking back and I said, why? I said, that's how I came out. That's how I did present myself. I said, wow. It wasn't wisdom. It was just spirit. For I know I wasn't that wise. I know I wasn't that wise. But I wanted to contribute to the sense of personal worth of people. I wanted to do that ever since I became aware or conscious of communicating to more than one person or to somebody, or group, audience, somebody outside of my friends that I associate with all the time, or outside of my family members, an audience. Ever since I can recall, I wanted to speak to a person's personal sense of personal value. What do you think you're worth? That was no discovery of mine. It was how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching was affecting my life, even as a little child. It's amazing. That's how his teaching was affecting me. It was affecting me to be interested in helping people to value themselves as a person or as an individual more. So I appealed to that in the FOI, and I gave this talk. I talked, I guess, an hour and a half, might have been 2 hours, but it's going to be very fast for you all. And I just left the sisters. Oh, had such a beautiful, attentive audience. Beautiful spirit. Very attentive, very intelligent looking audience. Looked just like you all's counterpart. Praise be to Allah. Yes, yes. You folks make me feel real good. The older I get, the more I just want to sit down and enjoy what I'm looking at. I ain't got that spirit to get up and preach to you all like I used to have. I just like to look at you. You all are beautiful people. I can now say what Farad said. I can sit on top of the world and tell anyone that the most beautiful people are that they are right in this audience. Praise be to Allah. Yes, we are special people. Allah is shaping us. Yes, He is. He's shaping us. He is breathing into us of His spirit. His word carries spirit. You can't speak without. Every word is breath going out. Boy, man, people. Every word, it. Every word sends some breath out. So when God says He breathed into His man the breath of life, that breath was in the form of His word. And word carries spirit. The word carries spirit. There's no word without a spirit. Even a bad word got a bad spirit. Yes, it imparts to you a bad spirit because it is a bad word. And Allah says in the Quran, a good word like a good tree. Its branches reaches up to the heavens. Praise be to Allah. Wonderful. Yes, so I want to start with what I was trying to do back there in those days as a young minister. And that is speak to our sense of personal worth. But not just as individuals, more importantly, as African Americans. Now, you know, if I would let these alien spirits have their way that surrounds me sometimes, they'd take me into a ritual bag and I'll forget my life and my history. And that means I forgot yours too. I'd rather be dead. I would. I'd rather be dead than live a life other than the life that Allah has evolved me in. If we can't recall how we were introduced to the Quran and to Islam, we have lost it all. We have lost our whole life. I'm speaking to those who came in on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching and changed your whole life. Change the way you live. Put down a lot of things that you thought you never could put down that were bad for you. And you came this way with me. And the people wonder how could you do it. Say, how those people do that? How they put down that powerful message of the black man and accept this little quiet guy, deadpan. We couldn't do it by ourselves. It was Allah working in us. It was God working in us. Now, if we leave this and forget how we progress from where we were before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then how we progress with a new sense of importance, what's important, what's not, and then how we changed and came back to the fear of God under the Honorable Elijah, under the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, for a while, get the world, or get the dollar, get the money, it took us away from the spiritual life. In the Nation of Islam, before the 60s, even in the early 60s, the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a strong spiritual life. Say, well, how did they didn't have the Holy Quran? They weren't even worshiping the right God. The right God knew who they were trying to worship. He ain't down here on our level. He's way up there. It says in the Holy Quran, high is he above what they imagined him to be, or what they described. High is he above what they described. So he's so high above what they described, he can ignore their blindness, their mistakes, the failure of their in their perception to see him correctly, and say, hey, they said Farah. Farah can't answer them. They're calling me. And he came. Every time a sincere one of us called him, he came. Are you just talking? Are you just snoring on the place, Brother Imam? No, I'm for real. Look, I went home one night and I was praying. My mother, ooh, you don't want her to punish you. And I was praying that somebody, first I was praying that my brother was home, and he hardly ever was home before me. Think you all know who that was. So I go in the back like I normally would do when it's too late, because at 12 o'clock, you're not supposed to get in. They'll get punished, too, if they open the door for you after 12 o'clock. So I go to the back, and I'm getting my little pebbles, and I'm throwing up there on the window. Ain't nobody coming to the window. I said, and it's cold out there, and in the wintertime, dead winter. I go around and ring that doorbell, and I'm scared. Oh, I said, I hope Mama won't come down or open this door. She came down, but I was praying to the God, only God that I knew, like my father taught us to pray, okay? I was praying God and my father, my mother and everything. I was praying to God the way they thought. I wasn't seeing any pictures, but I was praying with the mind of one of his followers, you know? If somebody said, well, who is God? I said, God is is Allah and the person of W.D. Farrar. That's what I would have told you at that time. So my mother came to the door, and she looked at me, and she said, get upstairs and go to bed, you nasty, menace rascal, you. Buddy, I said, thank you, Allah. Thank you. She didn't hear me, but that's what I was saying inside, all the way up those steps. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Allah. She didn't know when to turn you loose. She didn't. And when you run, you ask for more of it. You prolong it. So you don't want to run from her. She said, I'm going to whip you till you get in a new spirit. And she meant that. So I look back at that. I say, well, I know God answered me when I called on him. At serious times, I know he answered me. And I was calling on him with that mind that my father gave me. So as I grew older and wiser, I said, no just estimates have they made of God. I said, we don't have any just estimates of God. I said, God ain't petty like we are. Hey, if your son, then my mind said, just picture yourself and your child. If your son left you or somebody took him away and raised him without any knowledge of you, he doesn't know you his father. And he called out for help from a father. Would you help him? Yes. Yes. Same for God. This is his creature. He made him. And his creature is calling on him. But he doesn't know him. He doesn't even know his name or how to call on him. That God will answer. God is high above what we describe. Praise be to Allah. So, I'm going back to that speech I made. The speech, in summary, I'm just going to summarize and give you the gist. The speech said, very valuable and precious things are made from common things, ordinary things, upon which great pressure was exerted or came. Now, and I gave them, I already love science, so I gave the brothers the fruit, and don't let me forget it. I want to come back to the name fruit. F or fruit. Just the F. Okay, so I gave the brothers that lecture, and I used coal because I had learned in my studies of general science that the theory in that field of science says coal that we burn, used to burn. When I was a boy, we used to burn coal to heat. Heat the furnace, in the furnace to heat the hot water, heat the water, and we had hot water heaters called radiators. We had radiators, and they heated up the house, so you had to put coal in the furnace. And the furnace heat the water, and the water supplied the radiators with hot water, and that's how our home was heated. So anyway, I remembered what it said. It said the coal, over millions of years, the coal got more and more pressure on it. The deeper the coal was pressed into the earth by, you know, we shed skin where often it's replaced. But if you don't attend the earth collects layers. It collects layers. And what's on the surface now maybe a million years from now, will be buried maybe 100 feet or more under the surface. Stuff blowing, debris, trees dropping their leaves, or just things just shifting from place to place and covering it. So eventually, it's covered. And in time, so much great pressure is put on it that it creates heat and pressure. You know, pressure creates heat. Enough pressure creates heat. This is science. I wish more of you all appreciated science. Because Islam is a religion that brings water and oil to mix so thoroughly is almost like a chemical change. I'm talking about the water and oil of science and the water of faith. The water of faith and the oil of science. Bring them to mix so thoroughly, it's almost like a chemical change. The liquid is there and you can't tell the oil from the water, you can't tell the water from the oil. That's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. So, appreciating science, I gathered that from science. I would include these things, this science, this little information from science in my talks. I loved it. I love science. So anyway, I told them, I said, we didn't start here. I said, we started in the plantation, on the plantation. We started as the slaves of this country. I said, they owned us, whites owned us, we were their properties. I said, and they treated us with no respect for our human mind, manhood. I said, they kept us as their slaves, with denying us the freedom to have our own future, our own life, our life of our own. I said, the treatment of us before our woman, I said, no, I shamed us. They shamed us before our women. I said, but don't feel bad. I said, look, they don't know what they were doing, brothers. I said, they were refining something. They was creating pressures that were working to refine something. I said, it didn't take millions of years like it takes the pressure upon coal to make it a diamond. That's what coal, they say diamonds come from coal. Diamonds were once coal. And the pressure on the coal formed a diamond. Okay, that's what science says. So I said, they didn't know that they were creating a refining process. They didn't know that these black coals, common pieces of coal, was going to be diamonds one day. Praise be to Allah. And then I gave him the saying of a great philosopher, Maulana Maududi. No, it wasn't him, I'm sorry. Predecessor, one before him. It was Iqbal who said this. Iqbal wrote a lot on the self, the value of the self. And he said, if I be water, he said, where am I when dropped into an ocean? He disappears. There's nothing but water. He disappears in the water. He said, but if I be a diamond, and he just stopped right there. You know if you drop a diamond in the water, it stays a diamond. Nothing has changed. It stays a diamond. Yeah. So that has other meaning, but I said, under pressure, we are being made more valuable and more precious. And I believe it, I know it. It's true for all people that are unjustly kept back or held down. True for all people. But sometimes the situation is so peculiar and so strange and so offensive to God and decency that God himself gets involved. God himself gets involved. And he works with the people that are being mistreated. Works in their life in a mysterious ways and in plain, open, simple ways. But he works with them in their life and they turn out to be a great people. They turn out to be a sign for their oppressors and a sign for a world that comes into a change. The world has to change. It can't stay that way. So the world has to change. So the new world, the change world, or the new world order, it has that people as a sign to it. to make them know that God was present. Even when they were doing their bad things and thought they were in control, God was present and he was in control of the situation. And he formed or created another people out of the people that you rejected and put down. Created another people as a sign, a model, and a sign for you to look at. To strengthen your faith. Now, isn't this a God high above what we imagine him to be? Isn't this a powerful, mighty God? Those sinners, those evildoers, they're doing a thing that's terrible. But God is working something at the same time that's going to bring those that you put down to the top. But it's also going to heal you of your poison, of your diseases. Isn't that a God? Isn't that a wonderful God? See, he's high above what we imagine him to be. You know, our, as humans on this level, oh, he's supposed to beat the shit out of them. He's supposed to burn their asses crisp, 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 over and over again. But he's high above what we imagine him to be. He said, I have a tough brute that I lost. And I have a people that the brute got and shows no mercy. I have a plan to take the captives from him, free them, and put them on top in civilization. And make them a healing source for him. Going to be a source for his healing. They're going to take the poison out of him, trim him up, and make him a handsome-looking human being. Ebony had in one of his issues the Browning of America, and that's just what Mr. Johnson and his staff were saying. They were saying that our spirit, the spirit of the people that they put down, our spirit has now sensitized and humanized them, and they have come into now a new spirit as white folks because of our healing power, just our presence among them, the healing power. This is the way we should look at this. We should stop looking at the works of man and ignoring the works of God. Look at the works of God, and then you appreciate also the works of man with a new insight. With a new insight. This chair can't hold me too well now. I want to jump up down. I'm ready to levitate. Yes, yes. So that's where I was when I was a little young fella, young minister, young boy. I wish my brother Elijah was here. He'd tell you all. He said, Wallace, I always knew you were going to have something. He said, because you were young, a little boy, saying you'd be out there looking at birds, looking at the trees, and you'd just be out there for hours just looking at things. I was thinking on those things. Yes. And that was my pleasure. It was comfort and pleasure to me to just look at the things God made and wonder why they made like that, you know? Why are they like that? And look at the beauty there. I saw it, saw all of that. So we should never leave what Allah wanted us to be with, and that's with the true creation of God. Salvation is staying with the true creation of God. Not just the creation of man, but the creation of the external world too. The world that we look at. The world made by God. Stay with that. When Muhammad was feeling lonesome and downhearted over the sad condition of the world, especially his people in Arabia, he went off up into the mountains that later got the name because of him. Going seeking God, or seeking help. Mountain of the light, Jabal Nur, mountain of the light. God said to him, read. First words of Revelation. In the name of your Lord who created. Created. So God has given Muhammad some idea of the Lord. The Lord created. So that's knowledge of God. I know him now as a creator. So God obviously wanted Muhammad to know him firstly as the creator before knowing him by any other name. Creator. They have a saying, you know the artist by his work. You know the artist by his work. But you know any man by his work. But they have a saying, you know the artist by his work. You may never see the artist, but if you see his great paintings, his great works, you know him. Because the artist is more importantly the one that did that magnificent work than he is the man that's got two or three children, two boys and one girl or something, and live on such and such street and weigh 235 pounds and prefer this style of clothing and was brown-skinned with curly hair. What does that tell you about the man? Nothing. There are many men with that description. But few men with the skills and the art of Michelangelo or some artists, right? Picasso, more closer to us, more recent. Yes. So God, the prophet says, they call them seers before they call them prophets, say, we know you by your handiworks. Now, they didn't mean hand like our hand. They meant by the art that I see in the stars and in the rivers that flow and in the trees and in the beautiful animals that's running about, the birds flying in the air, the mountains raising high. This is an art, the snowflake that falls with its design. So that's the handiwork of God. That's what they meant when they said the handiwork, your handiwork. So they knew God, the great artist, by observing his art, his works. Huh? Yes. So Muhammad was turned on, firstly, to see God in the attribute of the Creator. The Creator. And if you want to read his creation, you have to see him in the attribute, in that attribute. How are you going to read his creation if you don't see him in that attribute? You won't be reading his creation, you just be reading creation. His creation got a message from him to you. If you're just reading a tree separated from the message, the full text of creation, you're reading a tree out of context when you're reading that tree and trying to get the message of God. Yes, you're reading it out of context. So you miss the whole message. Now, if I'm not correct, then you're going to have to convince me. Because the proof is on my side. A man preaching religion and preaching faith in God like that is the man that changed the backwards ignorant people and turned them on to science. And with less than 100 years, they rose from being unnoticed in the world of that time to being noticed and respected and sought for their knowledge. Huh? And he himself was an illiterate one, especially in scripture, it means. But he had no degree from any school. He wasn't a student of any of the places that he could go and get education. No. Just revelation. The Quran, the Word of God. And he was able to take a dead people and turn them on. They become intellectually alive and have them become the leaders in the world, in education. It became the leader in education. Brothers, you all should understand this. Revelation is just what it says. Revealing. Revealing. And you can't reveal